Now, if you will get your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 8. Last week we left off at verse 13, and this is where we'll pick back up and repeat verse 13 because this is the question that verse 14 answers. So we want to go back over the question so the answer, at least we know what question we're answering. But this is this vision that God has sent Daniel, and this is the part of the vision that is talking about how long will this desecration on the sanctuary take place, and how long will this last, and ultimately what happened 300 years in the future. It was Antiochus Epiphanes and the Greeks had defiled the temple. They were killing the righteous Jews, and this was a punishment from God to the Israelites because they had, for the most part, turned their backs on God. And so that's what this question is asking: how long is this punishment going to last, and how long are the daily sacrifices going to be halted, and how long will it be before it's continued? And so, verse 13, "Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking," and this is thought to be two angels, and we get the angel Gabriel that tells Daniel what this means later on in the chapter. And so this might be Gabriel is one of these. But anyway, this is thought to be two angels talking to each other. And the question was asked by one of these holy ones: how long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot? So how long is it going to be that these daily sacrifices are not going to be taking place, and this transgression of desolation, which is a description of how long are the Israelites going to be oppressed, and how long is the sanctuary and the host, meaning either the host of the people or God's law, being trampled underfoot. Okay, so one of these holy ones said to Daniel, for 2,300 days, so 2,300 days, then the sanctuary will be cleansed. So after whatever this 2,300 days means, then the sanctuary will be cleansed, and then the sacrifices will resume, and the punishment will be over with. So Kaufman's comment on this verse 14 is: regarding the true interpretation of the 2,300 evenings and mornings, or days, 2,300 days, and it's the literal translation is evenings and mornings, but the King James translated it as days instead of evenings and mornings, which represented the time of the punishment. So that's what this 2,300 days represents. How long will this punishment on the Israelites last? It would appear that any certain solution of this is impossible. And in Kaufman's studies of Revelation, it became evident that such numbers are almost certainly symbolical. And in that likelihood, he concluded that this number is a symbol. So he could not determine what this 2,300 days means. Now, whatever it did mean, and his conclusion was that it's a symbol. But now people have come up with all kinds of things of how long of a time period this represents. And we have to understand that what if it did mean some literal number of days of a calculation, that it would have to fall in the realm of the context of what this is. And what is the context of this? Number one, it was going to be confined to the Greek Empire. And it was going to be even more constricted than just the Greek Empire. It was going to, the punishment was going to be dealt out by this little horn that comes out of one of these four divisions of the Greek Empire. So, just from this, we would know that the punishment was not going to be started by Alexander the Great, because this little horn came out of the four divisions, and the four divisions came up after the big horn, Alexander the Great, died in his strength while he was still strong. So, and then all of this was done by this little horn. And but these commentators try to turn this into 2,300 years, and the people for, I guess, for centuries and the last two millennia. And Adam Clark was even one of these, and he put a date that the punishment was not going to end on the Israelites until 1966 is the number that he came up with, extrapolating out for 2,300 years. And then the temple would be cleansed. Well, you know, that was way, way too late, because the temple had been destroyed in 70 AD. And there is no temple to cleanse. So he even had a fundamental misunderstanding of the context. And the context is very clear here that this had to do with the Greek Empire and some king, which Gabriel is going to even mention this, that this is a king that arises of one of these four divisions of the Greek Empire. And so it's not going to last any past that. Okay, so Kaufman's conclusion was that this number is a symbol. But a symbol of what is the question? So this is what he came up with, was the best understanding that he knew. He said, if we reduce the 2,300 days to years by dividing 2,300 days by 365 days a year. So 2,300 divided by 365. We get 6.3 years. The period of God's judgments falling either upon pagans, as in the case of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, or upon Israel, as in the 7-year famine under Ahab, or the punishment of Israel for David's numbering of the people in 2 Samuel chapter 24. Each of these was a period of a full 7 years. So, God's judicial punishments have been a full 7 years, and these are three examples that he gave. Now, this is 6.3 years by turning these days and figuring out how many years this is. So, 6.3, less than 7. And so his conclusion was, the fact of this desecration to be terminated in a little over 6 years indicates that it shall by no means reach the status of a full divine judgment against Israel. So instead of a full divine judgment, this was a corrective teaching, I guess. He didn't say any more. I wanted more elaboration of what he thought it was instead of a full divine judgment, but I guess as best I can understand, more of a corrective teaching, because it seems to me that what God was doing, see, in Daniel's time, it was about 500 years before the Messiah was going to come to earth. And then by Antiochus's time, it was 200 years, and that was the time of this punishment. And so they had strayed from God's word and from God's commands, and there was only 200 years before the Messiah was going to come to earth, and he could not have these Israelites to have turned and be completely unrighteous. So he had to have this corrective teaching and get them back in line. So then the last 200 years, they would be much more righteous, and at the very least have a remnant of righteous, because if nothing else, you had to have a righteous lineage that could be traced all the way through David and then back to Judah, for that would be acceptable for God to be God incarnate and to be made in human, to come in human form, and could not have that to any pagans or any unrighteous humans. So that's what this was all about. Anyway, Kaufman said it wasn't a full divine judgment, so I'm going to say it was a corrective teaching instead of full divine judgment. He continues, the 2300 days seems to refer to a period in 168 to 165 BC when the temple was desecrated by the pagan sacrifices. So historically, during this 4 or maybe 5 year period from 168 to 165, so 68, 67, 68, 664, so say a 4 year period, that's when these, historically, that's when the sacrifices were halted, and then these Greeks, led by orders from Antiochus Epiphanes, they were, instead of the Levites giving the sacrifices, it was these pagan Greeks giving unclean sacrifices and sacrificing to idols and Zeus for one, and who knows who all else, these other Greek false gods. If we must supply a reason why God permitted such outrageous transgressions against the law of Moses, we need search no further than the prophecy of Malachi. The priesthood itself was cursed by the Almighty God for their shameful lapses. And it was the priesthood that had even gone astray and were not following. They were not giving perfect, unblemished sacrifices for one that Malachi talks about. Such desecrations as arose in the 2nd century B.C. should therefore have been expected. And they had warnings, because Malachi gave them warnings. Daniel had given them warnings. But obviously they all went unheeded. Okay, so now we'll pick up with verse 15. Then it happened, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning, that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So we're not told whose this voice was, but it is probably God telling Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, make Daniel understand the vision. So Gabriel will tell him what this vision means. Verse 17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face, and he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. Now, this is another misunderstanding. People have, all through the centuries and millennia, have misunderstood this, thinking that this is the end of time. But that's not the context of this whole vision. This vision is about the punishment in the days of this little horn, which historically fits with Antiochus Epiphanes. But we know that it's going to be confined with the Greek Empire, if nothing else. And so this, and the context is, here we have a question asking, how long are these daily sacrifices going to be halted? And then the answer was 2,300 days, and then the sanctuary will be cleansed. And so then the daily sacrifices could resume. And so this time of the end has to refer to how long will this oppression on the Israelites last? So how long will this little horn be able to do this wickedness against the Israelites and ultimately against God? And so that's what this time of the end is. And it's not the end of time, the destruction of the earth and all of creation. Verse 18, now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But the angel Gabriel touched me and stood me upright. And then Gabriel said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation. For at the appointed time, the end shall be. Okay, so this again is referring to this indignation is the sin of the Israelites. And so they will have been transgressing against God for quite some time, even from the days of Malachi here. And he's saying that I'm letting you know what will happen at the latter time of this sin, because this punishment is going to end their sin. They're going to learn their lesson and they stop this. And so that will be this is what it's talking about, the latter time of this sin against God, for at the appointed time that the end shall be. So, verse 20, at this point, this is what Kaufman had to say about comment on these four verses. This paragraph has the first naming of an angel in the entire Bible, Gabriel being the same angel that appeared to Mary and Zacharias some 500 years in the future to Daniel's day. The great burden of what the angel here said is that this great prophecy has an application to the end time. It is extremely unlikely that this could possibly refer to anything else other than the indignation, the end of the indignation, that is, God's indignation upon the Israelites as a result of their shameful rebellions against his will. Now, Kaufman did not talk about what any of these indignations that the Israelites did, any of these transgressions, but he did refer to and said that they're extrapolated on and explained about in the book of Malachi. And Johnny Ramsey had written a pamphlet about each book in the Bible, a summary. And Malachi, of course, was one of these. And Mother copied down 3/4 of a page outlining some of what these sins were from the book of Malachi that Johnny Ramsey did an overview of. So these are sins that the Israelites and the priest committed against God as described by Malachi. And so these are the things that they are punished for, that God is giving this vision, letting them know what's ahead of them, you know, if they transgress, which God, not being confined by time and space, he knew, looking ahead, knew that they were going to transgress. And so he was letting them know what they were going to be punished how their punishment would be, and now Malachi is prophesying and telling them what their punishment, what sins they're going to commit that is going to be worthy of this punishment in from Daniel 8. Okay. So this is from Johnny Ramsey's overview of Malachi. Malachi deals with people who were tired of serving their maker and offered to him polluted and crippled sacrifices that not even an earthly ruler would accept. So this is why, in large part, this punishment was on the priestly Levites, because now they were offering sacrifices to God that were not pure, and they were crippled animals. This was not the first fruits, so to speak. These were the leftovers, the worthless animals, and that not even an earthly ruler would accept. Many of the men were putting away the wives of their youth and taking foreign mates. And so, why was that a big concern? Well, they had to have the messianic lineage, at least some lineage, left that had a husband and wife that could be traced back to Judah and through David. And fortunately, I'm assuming because of this punishment, this straightened the people out, and then at the very least, there were two, Mary and Joseph, that God found acceptable. Hopefully there were others, but these were the two that he chose. And if God had not done this punishment through Antiochus Epiphanes, Mary and Joseph might not even have been acceptable. So they had to have a pure messianic lineage that did not have these foreigners intermarrying into the tribe of Judah. Okay, here's another thing. They profaned the name of God by disdaining the table of the Lord and by becoming weary of following the precepts of heaven. So they became weary of following God's laws. They were tired of it, and they just decided, we've done this long enough. We're going to do something else. Which, that's another reason of this punishment coming down that was very severe. Then they were rebuked for not glorifying God because their heart was not in their worship. Unlike the Levites of earlier days who had a covenant of life and peace, Malachi's contemporaries did not stand in awe of God's name. So they did not respect God's name any longer. Unlike the Levites, the priests of previous generations and millennia. They therefore caused many to stumble by such example and faulty instruction. So then, the rest of the Israelites followed suit from these priests. The priests did not revere and respect God or his name, and so the people stopped also. They followed down the wrong course with the priests. When men profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, no blessing from heaven could be accepted. Such faithless abomination would render unto them the wages of inevitable doom, and this inevitable doom was carried out by God through Antiochus Epiphanes, as described in Daniel chapter 8. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will pick up with verse 20 next week.